My name is Laurent Yerbach. I'm technical evangelist lead for Central and Eastern Europe. And today, it's not going to be a technical session. It's going to be more kind of marketing session. The whole idea is to help you to valorize the content, the great technical content that you are producing to basically have more traffic on your blog, site, etc. A few things about me. So I say I'm French. You can guess it with my French accent. It may take a couple of time to accommodate to my accent, so I apologize for that. But at the end of the session, that should be fine. So I will try to, you know, use and try to articulate correctly and use kind of okay words and stuff like that. If you don't understand, just raise your hand and do something like that. This is about me, just in few images. I'm both engineer and a marketing guy. I have two master degrees, one in engineering, one of marketing, and I always try to mix both. And on top of that, I have a couple of passions, like Lego. I have a big Lego room at home. I'm French, I like a good wine, good cheese, many other things. I have two kids, I like gardening as well, and it's about it. So I will have another session later today, which will be more IoT related. That's as well something I like. But today it's going to be an interactive session on content. So I expect you to participate, to ask questions, to give me your feedback, to agree, disagree, I mean whatever. Okay, give your feedback, share your experience. You can interrupt me at any time, I will repeat the question for the recording, don't worry for that. And all what you see here is clearly not rocket science. There is no rocket science for marketing. There are a couple of rules, and then it's like a chef in a cuisine. You have to know how to put all the ingredients together. It's not totally exactly the same thing. The taste may be very different. So it's important to share a lot in this kind of areas. I've prepared quite a lot of content. I'm not even sure we'll be able to go to all of the content in 45 minutes. Especially if we want to make it a bit more interactive. We discuss about content, how to write things, how to communicate things, how to do the promotion, a couple of tips and tricks. I'm not going to tell you, oh, buy advertisement on, you know, Google or Facebook. No, we'll go with more tips and tricks on those kind of things. And we discuss as well personal branding, what it is, because at some point, if you start to become famous, then you get exposed, somehow your private and profile, your public and private profile can be mixed, and you have to expose a couple of things. As an example, the slide you've seen is what you'll find on the internet. Okay, nothing more, that's my public profile. Okay, I have a private profile as well, that's my life, but I'm trying to protect it. So we'll go through those kind of things. All good so far? If there are things you want to discuss more than others in this list, that for a no, and then we start, okay? So, usually, you know, in those years, it's all about videos and stuff like that, and people are asking, like, you know, blogs and websites like that? No, they are not dead. They are more than present than ever. Okay? Why? It's people searching with words. They are writing with words. Okay? So, whenever it's written with words, there is some value. Now, one of the key points with all of that is that it has to be interesting for the audience. We have never read that many articles, books, I mean, than in the last, you know, few years. So there is plenty of content in many, many different languages, and the internet really helped on booming that. So the key point here is that the content is king, the content is king, and the content is king. Am I clear with that? That does mean that if you don't have anything to say, don't say anything. If you don't have any interesting things to write, it's better not to write. Okay? And then we'll go, I mean, there are many other things on the back of that, but it's just not because of your content that you'll be successful. It's the sum of many things. So we'll go to those many things. Was I clear enough on the fact that the content was king? Yes? Okay, so it was king, it is king, it will be king in the future. Nothing will change. It has always been like that. It will always be like that. Huh? couple of things, and now they are slides, you know, kind of not in a random order, but we can take any part in the order we want, and if you have any question, I can jump in other section as well. Sometimes I have a question is, what kind of language do I need to use to blog or to write an article? Well, it depends how much you want to get famous. You know, if you want to get very famous, then write it in English. If you want to get locally famous, write it in your local language. If you want to be both, then you can mix both. I sometimes give this example and because sometimes people want to do it, you know, in English and in their local language and stuff, and I say, well, you know, sometimes it's not necessary to do the full things in, you know, both languages. You can do a summary in one language, like your local language, because at some point people from your country will search for, you know, using Bing or Google or Yandex or whatever was their search engine, with sometimes they start with their local language. And then they'll find your blog, and they'll find the summary, and then they can find the rest of the content in English. Or vice versa. Okay? So you can mix both as well. But if you want to become very, very, very famous, then use English only. I'm only blogging now in English. I used to blog in French very, very long time ago, and I switched, even moving to this role, because I was on a neuro topic as well. And wasn't seen on embedded, it was not even called IoT at this time, but I was bringing on those kind of technologies. And if I want people to find my blog and find my article, I have to do it in English. Okay? So sometimes you are forced as well to choose a language because somehow your audience is small. So if you want to get more people interested, you have to change the language. Okay? On search, all clear on what I'm seeing that makes sense. I see all of you saying yes, yes, so it looks like it makes sense. But that's important, don't get me wrong. And that's the first thing on content, the language. It's an important one. Then I said that people are coming mainly by search. So you have to write it the correct way and use the correct words. How many times don't you find an article because the person didn't write with the right words in this article? Either using the right abbreviation, because you're searching for an abbreviation, either using sentences like how to create this. It's even worse in most of your languages, okay? Because with the conjugation, then you conjugate as well those words. Like, for example, if I take Czech, but that's the case in many of other languages, you conjugate every single word, including the names and the product names and the company name and stuff like that. So when you will search, you will not conjugate them. Okay? So in order to find them, you will have either to do mistakes in the way you write, grammar mistakes, either find ways where you basically transform it in the sentence so that you have all the keywords not conjugated. Make sense? Are you doing that already? Somehow, yeah. That makes a difference. Okay? And that's very specific from Central and Eastern Europe languages. You don't see that much in French or in English because people are using articles. So they don't conjugate the names, they just use articles, like in English. But English is an easy way, you don't even conjugate anything. So that's kind of easy to find the words. But when you are writing your own local language, that can make a difference. Other things. I realize that the length of an article does not really matter. What does matter is really the content and how it's presented. Now, if someone arrives on a full page of text without any space, without any image, without any illustration, hard to digest, okay? We'll have a section where we'll discuss a bit about, you know, visual things. I mean, what you can add in your content to make it visually appealing. And it's better when you want to read something on the internet to have small paragraphs, couple of illustration, headline, and stuff like that. So, if it's presented correctly, that can be 50 pages, if it's good content, and you can read, and you can go through it, that one. So always try to break your article in smallest parts so that people can go into it. And sometimes, you know, 5 lines, 10 lines of code, and a good picture of illustration is far enough. If it's the right content, that's far enough. I have example on my own blog where I have very short articles which are working very well. Just, I don't know, because of that most likely you know the right content and what people are searching for. And some very old ones which are working very well as well. But what is very important is to make it easy to use and to scroll. There are many, studies on social media, what is the right length, number of hashtags, blah, blah, blah. Looks like when you are using 2-3 hashtags, it's the optimal stuff. When you are posting on those specific social media. Okay?
Anyone cares about hashtags
on Facebook? There are people who care about that. I realized that recently, but not everyone, for sure. And
what do they do?
And so what do they do?
They
search on the Facebook headlines for hashtag, and then they follow news like that, in fact. They replace their favorite RSS reader that they had 20 years ago, by, well, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, by Facebook, and they search for hashtag. Especially when you post public. When you post private, it's just your friend, you don't care. Okay. When you post public, no, seriously, because your friends are just, you know, they're not searching for that. It's different, okay? But if you have a public profile or a public page, then yes, use a couple of hashtags, because then people are searching with those hashtags. They are even, you know, creating some specific groups with this hashtag, so they can follow all the news on a specific topic. And actually, Facebook makes it easy to do that. So some people are doing that. And then while we are on social media, sometimes I get a question, but do I have a blog, and or we have a community website, do we need to have a Facebook page, yes or no? That can be a very long discussion. All the time it depends, but if it's just on your local language, most likely that does not necessarily need to be the case. If you are in English or both languages, then that can be interesting because you can attract people who don't know you. It's another vector. Or if you're in a very large country. Now, if you are respectful to any country in Central and Eastern Europe, let's say in Slovenia, is there anyone from Slovenia? Or any similar country size with 2 million people living there, well, you know, just maintaining one thing well can be enough. And usually it's a website, or people have moved just to Facebook, just one. Now, if you're in a very large country, or in a country where this language is spoken in another country, let's take Belarus, then why not? That does make sense to have it on multiple platforms. And here, then it's a question not on your Facebook, but we contact here, and maybe, you know, something else. So that's the kind of things you need as well to look at if you want to increase the promotion part. We already discussed a bit on the promotion part here. I said that kind of everything is kind of linked. It's hard to have just a linear path. This is as well something interesting. And I write that for years, okay? This part I have it for years. Sometimes Microsoft people or US MVP, you're afraid of, you know, naming something else than Microsoft products. Does it happen sometimes? Yes. Well, don't be afraid.
Yeah. Google.
Yeah. You can name them. If you look at some of my articles and a lot of my articles, I always name competitor products. Not to compare them, but sometimes, you know, some people just don't know about the Microsoft stuff. So they will arrive kind of, oh, and I was looking for Linux, whatever, and I have an article with Microsoft stuff. Then at the beginning you need to, you know, reposition a bit the context, what it is about and stuff like that. Don't go to comparison one, but yeah.
There are alternatives. They're searching for the alternatives of the product they're using.
Yes. If they are searching for an alternative, yes, they will find it. I will repeat the question for the recording just to let you know. I know that there is a couple of honestly. So don't be afraid for that. Position it the right way, don't try to get to conflict and think that it's just shitty product of whatever. There is no shitty product. They are all good, I mean, seriously, I really mean it. They are just different usage. And depending on your usage, one product or one technology may fit better. And then it's just about positioning it correctly and showing that for those kind of usage, this kind of product is better than others. All those products, our product and all the other products, are not living in their own galaxy. Okay, they are all connected. And when you go in a large company, people have, you know, more than one technology. So everything related to interoperability and all that. If you don't take any of the other products, I don't know how you can speak about interoperability and how you can make things work. So don't be afraid. And because you won't be afraid and you need good content article, many as well competitive product, when people research for broader topic, they have more chances to find you. Make sense as well? Looks like you're used to this kind of topics. Couple of more things. Writing the correct way. You will realize that there are better times to post articles than some others. Okay? That depends from the content, that depends on the language, that depends on the country, that depends on the context. But you will have to figure that out. If you're posting in English, most likely evening is a better time to post. Because then the mass market of English speakers, I put quotes, are more, you know, kind of on the other side of the planet. And then they are waking up. So your brand new content, when you do the promotion as well of this brand new content on your open Facebook page or the contact your page, well, not for the English speaking one, but on the Facebook page or on Twitter or wherever, then this promotion will have in the morning when the people will wake up, then you have more chances that they will read your content. Why for the local language?
More noise.
But you have to be to the right time in the morning. I mean, the morning for them. Otherwise, yes, more noise. Then if you are posting in your local language, then it's morning for you. Sometimes I realized as well, when I was sending newsletters from Microsoft France, that Friday afternoon worked very well for newsletters. But that very different, you have to test, okay? So test it with some of your content, look at how it does react. Same when you are doing the promotion of your articles with Twitter or whatever, try to measure the impact number of retweets, whatever. For similar content, of course, content is king, so that may vary. Yes? Oh no, you were doing like... Do you want to say something on this topic?
I agree, definitely. No, I found the same thing, that posting later in the afternoon works well with the United States audience and with the United States, and it gives a lot of followers, and that we can, you know, make sure the reach you want.
Yes.
And also that weekends, for example, work worse because obviously less people are working, less people are perhaps spending time on social networks.
Yes.
Stuff like that, so
Then it depends as well on your audience, if you're more an hobbyist than a professional developer. Hobbyist over the weekends works better than over the week. Same for the evening then it's your morning or your night. And stuff like that. So you have to figure it out. If you have multiple persons working on kind of same topic, you better have to orchestrate as well. Usually you're not alone. If you know friends are reading, you know, multiple articles, try to link them together. Try as well to orchestrate when you will post those articles, to have, you know, logical path, so that it will have a good impact over time. That it's not that all coming at the same time, but communication is like a spike. So you are doing a first spike, then it goes down, then you need another spike, then it goes up a bit, then it goes down, etc. So this is the kind of timing you need to orchestrate. So when you have multiple people blogging or posting on the same website, don't post all the articles the same day, okay? Have one article per day, I mean, kind of timing, timeline, same for the promotion, boosted the correct way. All that, you know, those small things, that you make in a couple of difference every time. But if you go for all those kind of things, at the end of the day, it's 2, 3, 4, 5 times what you had originally. And then success will go with success. People will start reading your articles, then you start getting more traffic, etc. Audiences. This is as well a very interesting topic. When you write an article, you always have to ask yourself the question, so to whom will I deliver this, you know, this content? I have a great idea on, you know, this very teeny stuff on SQL or whatever. And it's okay, who will read it? Who is the profile I'm on the target? And you have to use the right words and the right things of doing that. And that can be sometimes, you know, a bit complicated to do, especially when you're blogging or writing things on not your main topic. On your main topic, you know, it's kind of easy. I mean, it's not your main topic, that can be a bit more complicated. I give you an example. I'm not a Node.js developer, but I wrote a couple of articles on Node.js. So at the beginning I say, okay, I'm not a Node.js developer. I made a mistake in the words I will use because I'm not a Node.js developer. So it's like, you know, C-sharp developer writing on Node. So if I do any mistake, please, you know, don't hesitate, comment, let me know, and maybe I'll just for the next time. And actually people are commenting. Like, oh, that's, you know, not the way we just do it on Node.js or SMB email and stuff like that, and then next time I correct. So, and that does as well help because then people read it in a different way, and then you have more chances that they will read it anyway, that it's with your view, than if you say, oh, I'm especially from Node.js, and then you're just, you know, writing like a BB boy. It's not gonna work. It's not the same philosophy at all. And we can spend a lot of time on that. This one is an important one. Whenever you write something, you always, always, always do an intro with repositioning the context. Always do that. Don't assume that the guy will just arrive and know everything about it. It's usually the big mistake for guys who are very specialized in one specific topic. You go and boom. It's like you have five first line and you say like, wow, over the edge. No, I mean, take the first paragraph to reposition things with the big picture. It's very important. The person will not go, you know, directly in the middle of your article, but with the beginning, at least. And this is a very important part. Think about how you're consuming the content. You do the same thing, and then you scroll quickly, and then you go to a part which is interesting, or with keyword and stuff like that. So apply the same rule to yourself when you write things. But that's hard. Well, that's, you know, it's like going through open doors. But at the end of the day, do an exercise when you'll be back home. Take some of your articles. The content will be available, so you can get through this presentation and check the points. You'll be surprised. Sometimes say, oh, I'm doing that, you know, every time. Good. This is like, oh, maybe I can improve. And try to do it. It's not that easy. It's easy, you know, when you're outside. And if I review one of your blog, you one of my blog posts. But when you're inside, that's hard to do. So use that maybe as a checklist as well. This is as well complicated, especially when it's about technical article where it's like how to optimize that or how to do that. Try to be very concrete in the way you do it. Try to make open doors for people to interact. Leave a comment, send you a mail, do something. It's not that easy, but at the end of the day, that's how we can help people. The last blog post I did was on Office 365, and now you can pass a token, the authentication token, in an embedded device for Office 365 graph. Normally, for Office 365, you need to have a web page, you enter your credential, and it's on the same machine. So when you don't have any interface, you pass it. And so I wrote this article, and someone commented on my blog post like, I don't know, a week or 2 weeks after, saying that, oh, it's exactly the kind of article I wanted to do, and thanks, you know, for posting, I have more questions. And then for me, that's good, because then I answer the person, I will send the mail, etc. Most likely it will help someone. But in the article, I leave, you know, open doors, like, you know, if you want to know more, or if there are more things, just, you know, leave an article, leave something. And at the end of the day, those kind of things are working. And this add then content to your own content, because the comments, they are indexed as well by the search engine, especially when they are good links and if it's related to the topic, they do it by, you know, world matching and stuff like that, and then that's even richer for the search engine. And if someone finds that, you know, those comments are valuable, they may as well, you know, comment somewhere and do the stuff here. On the how to write, the style and things like that, that may vary from language to language, but in general, keep it simple. You know, don't try to do five lines, paragraphs for one sentence. You're not Shakespeare. I'm not Shakespeare. And even if you read Shakespeare, I'm not sure you love Shakespeare, you know, because it's very long sentences. And it's always better to have, you know, kind of subject, verb, complement, simple sentences, more or less in the present, not that much in the future or in the past. Okay. Because the present is when things are to me. This is a content is key, so don't compromise with the content. Don't compromise with the quality of what you write. It's better to write fine, you know, some more things and add it in the article or in the post or than just, you know, throwing it away with something missing. Because if something big is missing or you made a mistake, someone will come and say, oh, this is bullshit. It's not working, guy, come on. You even haven't tested it. Oh, yes, it's working on a developer machine, now try to deploy it, okay? And then you get to the scooter and you lose all your credibility very fast. So, aim for quality. Be personal as well. You're speaking to a human. It's not a computer, we read your article. Yes, maybe it's a computer, we read your article. It's called Google or Bing or whatever search engine. But this guy, it's just an algorithm which will, you know, rank you in some pages. The real person is a human. Speak to a human. Don't be afraid of seeing that things are working, not working, why you have that. I mean, be a bit personal. That create a connection with the person. The worst I can see, you know, is the MSDN library and stuff like that. It's terrible, right? It's like, you know, a robot was written all those articles. It was a robot, I guess. No, the robot is translating, it's even worse. Don't you call that? No, I'm joking. No, translation doesn't help. I mean, a lot of people have seen that in the past, but be personal. You're a human, you're someone. You're speaking to someone else. Create a connection, create an emotional connection. I mean, explain them why you are doing that. Be careful with you. Okay? That may not fly very well, everywhere. But you can be personal. If you write in your own language, for your own country, you can make jokes and use humor. That's fine. If you write it in English, the culture is very different. All Europe is kind of the same, but there is a lot of difference between Europe and the US or Asia. It's clearly not the same. Well, don't be too enthusiastic.
Oh, it's amazing!
Fire extension point.
Oh, this is fucking not working.
This is a bit too emotional. Find the right balance. Make it more balanced. It's fine to put exclamation mark, question mark, stuff like that. Up smileys, I mean, it's perfectly fine. Don't abuse. Right balance. It's not a teenager bug. You can get a lot of traffic with a teenager bug. You're more on technology side. And that's already things I was giving. It's the context is important. Again, don't hesitate. Put a bit more on context, on next step. What can be the next step? What can be the following steps? Be factual. What's working? What's not working? How to fix things? What is positive? What is negative? You're not here, you know, to just do the apologize of whatever your own technology on another one or the Microsoft one. Or just be factual. No, that's how you help people. And try to make it comprehensive, understandable by your audience. And again, back to the point we discussed, it's about making sure that who I'm speaking about. It's not the same thing if the guy is really a professional already. The context can be shorter than if you're then addressing, you know, wide variety of people with, from students to high-end professionals. All clear on all that, any comments? Yes?
I have a question.
Yes. I said at the beginning that you were not here, that you can ask any question at any time.
Okay, thank you. Do you know what a press release is and how can companies use these press releases to address the public?
Yes, journalists.
Yes, journalists. But for some reason, a lot of companies, like for example, HP, Cisco Systems, they use they are so boring that no one reads them.
Yes.
But they pay a lot of money to deploy these press releases.
Yes.
What would you recommend? How to make it?
Well, it's the same thing. Content is key. Okay. Sometimes large companies, that does happen in many large companies, they ask their, you know, PR agency to reach the maximum number of journalists in the world and send them whatever content it is. Sometimes the people who are writing this content don't even know about the content. Okay? They don't even know about the product. They write something, they use kind of, they ask you know, an intern to do it, no one has time. And then no one is checking the quality. And that does happen a lot in large companies. I've seen that, I don't want to name anyone, but I've seen that happening. And then I know as well quite a lot of journalists in the technical world in French. And you cannot imagine how many crap they can get. And you know, it's not helping them and it's not helping anyone. So I would recommend that if you do press and PR, you really do it the correct way. So you really target the necessary journalists, not more. Make it relevant content for them. Otherwise, you'll never get anything else. And make it more personal. So if you send a PR release like in a mass mailing, that will never work. So it has to be sent by someone to someone with a bit of context. Personalize the context. If you know the guy is a journalist for, you know, developer magazine, name at least the magazine said that, you know, that can be something interesting for his magazine. And if you know that another one, you have to know that the other one is from an IT magazine. I mean, put a bit of context as well, on top of the peer. And this is how you can get the maximum. I've done that in the past, in my previous role, so in marketing. We always get much more than going through the peer agency. Because we make it personal. Well, now the other issue internally, because I was kind of bypassing some of the process, but you know, at some point, when it's relevant, then you get things done, and people happy, actually. Everyone, because the journalists, they really want to have interesting things. But you have to know what is interesting. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Makes sense? Since you don't have to, that is very important. I mentioned already Yumu. Be careful on that. Be careful on cliché. Like, I'm French, I'm a wine lover, she's a woman, whatever. You know. Those are cliché. Actually, that does apply to me. But it's not always the case. It's not always the case. I see nothing smiling in the room.
It's true. In your case.
In my case, it's true. But I know many French people who hate cheese. Actually, they are allergic to cheese.
Really?
Yeah, really. I mean, really. I have a friend like that. So every time he comes at home, he's you know, he's very sad because I have big plates of cheese with 20 different or 25 different kind of cheeses. His wife loves cheese, so we do this cheese plate, but we go out and you know do something else. And then, so be careful with cliché. That usually does not apply correctly. Especially when you're writing English, you will have people from everywhere in the world. So be very, very, very careful on that. Get neutral, few smiling, that's okay. Few things like that, that's okay, but be very, very, very careful. Okay. There is nothing, you know, more terrible than having a good article and then suddenly the guy is doing humor and you know, like let's say like Bulgarian, I know from Bulgaria, and I say, what the heck is that? The guy you know, never even came, you know. So and then you stop reading it. And then you make you know bad stuff on this guy and you just blacklist never read any of your
share it.
We will share it by the way on Facebook. Yes, that's a very well he's never saw some never you know visited our country. And then again, we get to know by it. So be very, very, very careful. More things on religion, on otherwise. I mean, just avoid those topics. Don't do it. Just don't. Or be apart. I told you that we'll get back to visual impact, that the length of an article does not matter. What does matter is really how you can read it easily. Okay, this is a kind of checklist that you can print if you want. And then I use when you're writing articles to help you structure it a bit. Like when you can use graphics to illustrate what, when you can use multiple columns, that's interesting as well, stuff like that. You get the slides, not necessary to take a picture.
I want a picture now. I'm showing it.
Oh, you will use it right after. Okay, fine. I can even send you the link on the OneDrive. Number list, stuff like that. You can use, and that's okay, color, you can use, you know, as well, changing sometimes the fonts. Be careful with that. Korean U is not the only font existing.
Are there other plans to
release a new blog editor, like writer?
Well, like writer now is open writer, it's open source. We've released it 2 or 3 months ago. There are already a couple of forks and there is a community working on it. So I haven't installed the last build from the last fork, but they are working already on improving it currently, and I guess that you get something very good here. That's the reason why we released the code. So, and then there are others, but this one was very popular, like writer. So now there is open writer. Actually, that's what I'm using now. The plugin will come back, they promise. Plugins will come back in this new library. So I will not, you know, enter in details, but you can use many things. Don't hesitate to use headlines that cut, you know, very well your paragraph. It's like for when you're reading a newspaper, you know, those kind of headlines that cut very well the article. Use them to highlight a couple of points, your key points, your key aids, or if you're doing steps, the main step and stuff like that. That does help a lot. So you can do that. When you wrote some content, you are not at the end of your work. Okay, the content now is good. We've discussed all what to put inside. It's not doing the promotion. If you don't promote it, nothing will happen. I'm not speaking about you know, Google AdWords or Facebook paid promotion, stuff like that. It's just doing the right promotion. So using your social media properties, using your friends. Okay, I do test myself on my own articles on that. So for 2 similar articles or part 1, part 2, on one I will just, you know, use Twitter, Facebook, I will send them to a couple of friends, I will name a couple of guys like you who are working in this topic in the article, or send them, you know, do things like that to really increase the promotion. And then I compare. And when you do that, it's just 2, 3 times, 5 times more traffic. That does really work. And you have to do it. Okay, this one is as well very interesting. If there is someone specialized on the topic, like you, but is already very famous, well, when the guy will, you know, relay this information, it's gonna work. Okay, when he will retweet your post, or when he will do an article in his very famous community website and stuff like that, you'll get more traffic. So you better have to be connected with those people. That's very important. You are as well guys like that, you know? Some of you have most likely millions of people on that. So a lot of people will approach you to do the same thing. Well, maybe not millions, a few hundred thousand. I know you're very modest. Something that usually we forget to do is there are many people who usually have problems. Just look at Stack Overflow and those kind of forums. Quick search on those forums when you write an article to see if anyone has difficulties that you've solved in your article. Go there, publish the answer, the link of your article, and you'll see people will come. Most likely it will serve them, you know, quite some time. Mm-hmm. How many times you beg people to do those kind of things on your own question and answer? And then you realize that, you know, 5 or 10 days later someone has wrote something on a blog which was really about solving that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. If you have marketing people with you and you're not the only one, use them. That's good. But you have to let them know. I was, you know, both sides. And sometimes I had, you know, some of my technical guys writing a really great article. They didn't even let us know. We not even knew about them. Why we had newsletter and a campaign and things like that beyond this topic. Ah, what a miss. Okay? And usually you're not working alone. Friends around you, your own company, let them know. Well, it's good for your own promotion, but let them know things. Using social media, that's important, but it's not the end game. It's a way, in social media, you have social and media. The media part is really about redirecting to your content, to your article. So use them for that. That's how it's supposed to work. Same thing, if you're doing a boring intro on the social media, no one will come in your article. So this short post or short whatever has to be as well attractive. What makes you come to this session? Tips and tricks, content is king, time to internet traffic, okay, enough selling stuff. If I would have said, get better on your website, how many of you would have come in this session? No one, okay? So even in the title, you can attract a lot of people, actually quite a lot. And don't be alone on the internet, get connected, get with others, relay your content, etc. Okay. I will skip this one, it's about the same thing. We just have 5 minutes left, so I'll go on this next part, which is about personal branding. Most of you are already famous in your community a little bit, but you can even become more famous. And for that, you need to do some personal branding. Nassim is a very famous guy. No, but do you want to become very famous? And for that, you need to have a couple of tools for that, okay? So you need to do the promotion of yourself. And that's really about that. Couple of good advantages. You go in conferences, you have people coming and saying hello to you, you don't even remember them. They recognize you in the street. That's happened to me in the past in France when I was doing a lot of conferences for developers. It's nice. Well, the nicest thing is when really the content is used, etc. Now that has as well some couple of inconvenience. You are human, you want to protect somehow your private life or not, but most of us won't, and then you have to deal with those kind of things. That was what I was mentioning at the beginning, with the public and private profile. You need to be smart on your communication because you want to keep, you know, famous for what you are and technology and stuff like that. You don't want that, you know, screw up people because then they will see it quite fast and then you'll get famous but for other reasons, and the bad reasons. And then you lose all your credibility. That does happen to you? No. Then all good. So you have to be careful. There is many ways to measure, how famous you are. And there are two ways of becoming famous. Become famous, become a blogger, and then you become a famous blogger, or be a blogger. Fine. You have tools like Cloud to measure those kind of things. Use them, it's interesting that you can measure your level and your impact on various social media. That's a quick screen capture from myself. It's an interesting indicator, and you can link it to public Facebook page, your own private Facebook page, Instagram, I mean, whatever social media you're using, and that can give you, kind of pulse. And the more you get interaction with other people on social media, the more you get a higher score. It's basically how it's working. So if you want to measure something on social media, that's the kind of things. I'm going to skip this one. And I'm just going to actually to the public private profile. This is an important one, okay? If you want to protect your private life, you have to expose some of your life, but things that you will find everywhere. Okay, search on me on the internet. Try to find stuff on me. You will always find the same thing. Always, always, always. I'm French. I like cheese. Wine. Lego as well. I have two kids. I have two master degrees, one in engineering, one in marketing. The name of the school that I'm working at is Microsoft, as a technical evangelist now. I mean, in the past, you will have my school and stuff like that. That's the only thing you will find. And I'm controlling it quite often as well. And you have to control it as well. Because at some point, you don't want, especially when you get exposed very much, too many things to become your private life. Well, depending on what you do in your private life, of course. But at some point, you want to control it. So be very careful, like the bios, I mean, it's always the same one and stuff like that. Make sure that all what you publish about you is always the same thing. That's how you can get protected for the rest. And that has another advantage. That creates an empathy with the person who speaks to you, who will connect with you. Because they will be real human, exposing a bit of what this person is doing. And then you think in a bit better person. So this emotional connection I was mentioning then will happen at some point. Like in your article, you can always mention why you are doing that and it's because of previous things or passion or whatever. That is the way work well. And try to control. What happened to me in the past as well is that people try to fake me. So they were creating fake accounts on me and posting things, you know, on me and stuff like that, which were not the right one. I had friends, you know, figure out a couple of those accounts, so then we managed to get removed of some of the forums and stuff like that. But control it. At some point, you don't only have friends everywhere. Okay. So be careful. Does that speak to everyone? Is that clear? Is that things you are already doing or thinking of doing? Or?
More or less.
More or less.
Yeah. It's also a good thing to do a Bing or Google search on yourself.
Oh, yes. It's good to search yourself on Yandex, yes. Or Yandex or whatever other search engine you have. Yeah. Oh, yes. Do it. At the end, and I will have to stop because it's already 2 minutes over, but you give me the extra minutes at the beginning. I have a couple of examples on some of my blogs and some of my articles, so you can go through the presentation. That's the very transparent number and what happens. So I have one very old article on ultrasound sensor and .NET Micro framework. Very sexy topic, right? But this one is making, you know, like 6 times more than my average number of pages. And then I try to understand why. Well, I was the first one to publish this kind of content. Then it has been relayed in many, many communities which were more on the .NET Micro framework, Arduino, stuff like that. And basically, whatever search engine you are using, if you try to search for NetNF, .NET Micro framework, ultrasound, sensor, or ultra, or sensor, stuff like that, I'm always like the first one. But it's very, very hard. So things like that can happen. This is a good example. You can go through the article. There is nothing you know, very extraordinary relevant in this one. And you do the right topic as well. This one was on .NET Micro framework and Raspberry Pi. That was like 3 years ago, I don't know. 2.5 years, we didn't have any Windows 10 running on it. But I've ported some of the .NET Micro framework classes on Raspberry Pi because there were a lot of .NET Micro framework, well, a lot of still a small community, but fans, and that's the people to use correctly. And then same thing, interesting topic, audience interested and stuff like that. Helping create connection. That's a very interesting one internally at Microsoft. The particle that I was part of the at this time is an embedded board, and the Microsoft team was trying to get in connection with this team. And I was kind of the first one publishing an article on that. So the Microsoft team contacted me to help them to get in contact with the company. And at the end, we signed a partnership with them, and then now they can use if you're a particle.io user, you can post your things on Azure. That's an interesting one. Another one, recent one, is Espressif, same thing, but this time it's Espressif contacting me directly to work with Microsoft. Espressif are doing the ESP8266 chip, and it's a very, very low cost wireless chip. So now we're working with the team to make them a future Azure partner. And they contacted me, you know, after this blog post. I was just, you know, one of the first ones. And it looks like that the guys were looking for a way to run down with Microsoft. That's about it. So, thank you. I guess I have to leave the space for the next speaker to get installed, but I can take questions now, even out of the microphone.
Yes, yes.
I will give you the spot for the next speaker. Yes?
Talking about your experience of creating such articles and publications, but you say, I am for the best quality, best of the best quality. How, in your experience, you avoided that perfection, infinite loop?
Yes.
Perfectionism?
Yes, I'm writing there. It's going to be quite clear for you. This is 100% quality here on this side, and this is time. Okay, and you have something like that, and a sentence. Okay, every time you try to reach 2 times or to increase half of the quality here, you are multiplying by 2 the time here. So here you have 2 times 2. Okay, it's basically an asymptote. So here, if you want to increase again by half of the quality here, so like you have 50%, 75, and then 80 something, here you're spending 4 more times. Okay? So you define the bar. what high quality means. For me, you know, having a couple of grammar mistakes, orthograph mistakes in English in my article, that's fine. Now, not having a part of code to explain something, that's not fine. Not having testing it in a specific environment which I'm mentioning, that's not fine. So most likely my quality bar is at like 80 something percent, 90%, I don't know, that's my own percentage. Because at some point I don't want to spend, you know, an infinite number of time here. So you have to define the limits. That's based as well on the feedback you can get on blogs or on your previous article. Be pragmatic at some point. And you need really to be moving. The floor for the next speaker. But I continue to take questions. You can continue to ask me questions. Any more questions? All good. Now I will have a technical session in an hour and a half for those who are interested. On IoT.
Thank you.